Everyone's different.
I taught school for a while, so I've got a back of the room voice, I think. Can you hear me back there? Okay. Kind of excited this morning. Something special happened, so I'd like to share that before I get started. Well, and it has to do with the shirt that I'm wearing. About a year and a half ago, Lonnie Berger spoke here and talked about a thing called Every Man a Warrior. It's a discipleship program. And I was sitting over here, right there, I think. And the Holy Spirit kind of grabbed me, and it was at a time in my life when I said, I got to do something. I gave my life to the Lord in 74, late in life. It took a while. I was thick-headed. I needed more information. It just kind of hit me that morning that this is what I'm supposed to do. So I went back to church, and I said to my pastor, I said, you know, I really feel strong about this. We need to do this. He said, do it. So I put, without advertising, I asked, and three people, and I say asked and three people because I didn't really ask, but three people came to me and said, hey, we ought to do something like this. And you know how God works, it just, all of a sudden, they were there. And these guys became dedicated, and we discipled each other for 1 year, 9 months, 9.5 months, actually. And we learned about our relationship with God. We learned about marriage and raising kids. And we learned about purity and finances and sex and where do we go from here kind of stuff. So we could disciple them in with other problems. Well, we put in 9 months. And then we said to God, he says, okay, now what do we do? Well, this works on a four-man group. You know, it's good for small groups. You know, and it prepares men to go out and help other men. And one of the comments that we always got was, well, I wish I knew this 20 years ago. In my case, 40 years ago. I'm 60 years old. I get to the end of it. But I thought, if God's going to honor that, then we need to have four new groups, right? Well, Sunday, I put the fleece out. And I said, are there men here that would like to step up that haven't done anything yet and would like to get involved and be discipled, and then disciple. That's a challenge, you know. I mean, this is a commitment. This is not an easy thing. Navigators put this on. You got scripture memory. You got it's a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
This is not a class where you just go and say, "I'm here," and then go home and skip the next class. You won't want to skip the next class. It's an hour and 45 minutes, and it's you need that time. And so, you know, you put that pressure on these guys, and a lot of fellows have been sitting there for a long time thinking, maybe this is the time. Well, God bless that Sunday. I had 14 people sign up.
Amen.
Yeah, I tell you what, that rocked my boat. It really meant a lot to me because we worked so hard this last year. I tell you what, you know, you doubt the Lord sometimes and you think, well, I don't know, these guys are pretty tough. So, and they all, it was just great. So, that's, I'd like to say hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for that. Anyway, that's, I want to kind of share my testimony. I haven't done it for 20 years, so it's a little rusty. Last night, my glasses broke, so I went out and tried to get it fixed. I got it back up here just in case. So what I did was I took like a couple of pages of notes, and I went to the computer, and I blew them up to like that big, and now I can see it. I don't have to use my glasses. I hope. Anyway, how many of you here today, I believe you're here because you made the choice to come.
Oh.
Okay. Now, how many of you are here because you think God put you here? Or wasn't?
I just pulled
the same thing sometimes. I'm here to tell you that this is no accident. No accident. First timers, wherever you are, there's a reason you're here. I'll tell you what, God has a plan for you. And you won't know what it is until it's done, probably. You know, I mean, it might be tomorrow, it might be in 2 years, it might be in 20 years, it might be even longer than that. I'm a slow learner, so it took me a long time to figure out what's going on. But since 74, I know it was God's idea. So, but I'm going to kind of go through that, and I'll give you a little bit of information about myself. I didn't know the Lord when I grew up. My folks went to church off and on. We didn't go all the time, but my mom was adamant that we went. Well, I found out real quick that they could see our the front door of the church from our house. Small town. So I knew the front door was important. So my two brothers and I would march ourselves over there and we'd go through the front door. I also knew there was a back door. I knew exactly where it was. I also knew that the 66 station, two blocks down the road, had Orange Crush and Coke with peanuts. You know, you pour peanuts in the Coke.
Oh, yeah.
How many guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Peanuts, Planters peanuts.
Yes.
Put in the Coke.
Oh, yeah.
Fizz a little bit.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Got your lunch. You guys are laughing. It's all right. You can do stuff I wouldn't want to do. Anyway, that's what I would do. I'd go out the back door, and when church was over, I knew exactly what time that was. I had a trusty watch. And I'd go out, meet my brothers, and we'd go out the front door, go home. Everybody's happy. Everybody's cool. So until my brothers got older to figure out what I was doing, then I had to drag along with me. And otherwise, they'd tell me. So I was a good guy. I mean, I grew up. I don't hurt anybody. You know, I was generally a pretty good person. My folks wanted to go to college. I didn't know what I wanted to be. So after the third year, I dropped out. That was a bad thing to do. It was right height of the Vietnam War. My number was 53. You know, you can count to 53 really fast. And they, what is it, the local, I don't know who chases you down, but they found me right away. They said, you better go down and take off your clothes and sit and wait until the doctor wants to see you and you get doing say the Pledge of Allegiance. And oh, by the way, if you say a word, you will be in there faster. And you'll be saying the pledge before you can even drop your drawers. Anyway, so I sat there in my shorts and waited, and everybody started to go home. I'm still in my shorts, and everybody turned the lights off. I'm afraid to say anything. I know the pledge, but I didn't want to say it that day. So I said, I'm still here. Oh yeah, you have to see the doctor. Okay, so I went in there. And he asked me a bunch of questions about flat feet, broken bones, my religious preference, all that kind of good stuff. And I said, I have no broken bones, I have none of the above. I did have a little bit of a football accident back when I was a sophomore, I got my back smashed. But he goes, what? I said, just got bent over backwards. So I was out for a couple weeks. And recurred a little bit, but that was all, nothing, no broken bones. So we got to check you out. So they sent me down to the doc and had some x-rays, and sure enough, I was shocked to see that I had two vertebrae that were compressed and shows up on the x-ray. And, okay, we're gonna give you a 1Y designation. 1Y means in case of war, you go to the Army, okay? Well, we didn't have a war, remember? Vietnam was a, what was it?
Conflict,
that's right, conflict, yeah. A bunch of my buddies were dying over there. It was just a conflict. Anyway, I felt kind of bad. I didn't tell him I was in gymnastics with Frank Solich at the time at the University of Nebraska, and my exercise was floor exercise and high bar. No help for a guy with bad back, right? I also had, I was taking fencing, and I also was taking, I had 2 years of judo and martial arts. I was involved with boxing a lot later. In fact, that's another story. But was it God's plan? When you start out in life, you don't know whether it's God's plan or not. You know, it's just kind of a, you know, shot in the dark kind of thing. Well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. Well, I didn't stay in college. I didn't feel I was going anywhere. Went out and started working. But I did meet my wife in college. Boy, she was a tough one to snag. She worked all the time and had no time for men. So I had to wait till 11 o'clock one night to fry her up some hamburgers. So I like to cook, so it's a special. Thanks, Reddy. And I said, when you get home, you're going to have supper with us tonight and out the balcony at our place. And didn't look too far from us. Well, she kind of liked the food. And I think she liked the Tom Collins I mixed for her that night, too. But I wasn't sure. That's a long story, too. But have you ever heard of being unequally yoked?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what that means. It means one horse pulls a lot faster than the other. And it doesn't work very good. You know? Well, she wanted to go to church. I didn't. She wanted to raise kids with good values. I didn't care. That's okay. That's a good idea. But, you know, that's fine. I'm glad she felt that way because it's a good girl. Then she talked about Jesus a little bit, and of course that scared the few out and right out of me. I don't know what that means. That's too quick. I really didn't know what that meant. I didn't know. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know about that other stuff. I just didn't want to get too close to it. And our lives unfolded. We indulged ourselves with all kinds of things. I was in the insurance business for 7 years, and I learned how to deal with people. I studied that a lot. I learned how people react to certain things and what they say when they don't, what they don't say, and what that means. And I got very good at interpersonal skills, and that was a good thing. I spent a lot of time worrying about commissions, because when you're in insurance business, you're on commissions. There was good days and bad days, good months and bad months. And I worked with another guy who claimed to be a Christian, and although he went astray, he did teach me how to work. I found out very quickly how you work real hard for very little money, and it was one of those things that propelled me into business. Got into a business where in the fire extinguishing business, the Halon things that you put in the computer rooms. Like I found a partner and kind of put a little bit of money together and tried to put this thing together. And we went out and tried to get some products. I ended up getting the worldwide rights to the extinguisher that's on the space shuttle. There were seven of them on the space shuttle. And that was kind of neat. We sold a few. And didn't do a lot of business with that because it's not available to the public. It's just a DOD, Department of Defense thing. Okay, so we spent some money trying to get this thing ready for the public. There's a lot of pilots wanted this because you can put your fire out on your instrument panel and would put your lights out, like CO2, which you can't breathe. You know, CO2 takes a carbon dioxide out of the thing. Halon, you can get away with it. You don't put too much in there, you're fine. That's why it's on the space shuttle. Well, we put about $9,000 into the advertising program out of a big company down in Kansas City. Got the labeling, got the Kaiser company making cans, and got all squared away, these thousands of dollars together to get this thing all ready to go through Factory Mutual, which is like UL, that's approval system. Got it all ready to go, and God has a way of saying, you know, I think I want you to do something else. Well, yeah. We named this new unit the Challenger series. And guess what happened that fall? Challenger blew up. You think that's a public relations disaster? That is a major disaster. You can't call something a Challenger, especially if you got a picture of the shuttle on it. And so I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, sell the business. Well, I got to go back. And at that time, we were spending money like crazy. We had 17 credit cards maxed out. Maxed out. Didn't have $24 at the bank, and we were about ready to get foreclosure on our house that we were given credit for that we didn't deserve. So my wife was answering calls from creditors, and she was being bullied. She was called worthless, she was called a liar, and she was about ready to have a nervous breakdown. It was tough. This took years, you know, to do this. It took years to get out. And one day her mother called her and said, hey, how would you like to go to California to a wedding, to kids, get away from all this, relax a little bit. And she said, okay, that's a good idea. You see, she was getting ready to leave anyway. She had it. You know, she was done. I don't even remember what she said goodbye. All I know is I was left alone, and I had no friends to talk to. I had no wife to discuss with, and I really didn't know how it happened, but I did. You know, it's one of those things where men, I think, don't get it very quick. I know two guys that came home to divorce papers and had no clue. Well, I didn't have divorce papers yet, but I found myself in the living room of our house that was not ready to go out west, and I finally decided that it was time to ask the Lord to help me out. Boy, I hated it. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, it's such an unknown. I didn't know if I was going to change. I didn't know what I'd look like after a change. What how's my lifestyle going to change? You know, you worry about all these things that are so material, so relevant to your day-to-day existence without him. Because you're relying on, you know, me. And I dropped to my knees and I pulled the trigger. I said, help me out. And I'm sorry for waiting this long. I said, you know, let me take advantage of this situation. God comes into my life and take over. You see, I was at a point where anything would be better than what I was living through at the time. You know, there comes a point where you can live with yourself for a long time. You say, I'll be fine. And I was. I'm the eternal optimist. I'm so eternally optimistic, I have laugh lines. I don't have frown lines. You know, I don't even hang out with negative people. I leave. That's just this way. You know, I see the good in a lot of people. I really do. And but anything would be better than what I was living through at the time. And God reached down and he took the baggage off my back and lifted it off. And I felt it go just like that. And I felt, you know, I was lighter then, by the way. I worked on that. But it just totally lifted me off and he took everything. I cried like a baby. And I said, praise God, thank you. And I don't know how to pray. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. I hadn't read the Bible. I didn't know what do I do. Well, I was pretty excited. And I called my wife and I said, guess what? I did. And I was in a small group at the time. And a small group was bugging me about this, you know. And I knew what to do. I knew what I had to do. So when I did it, I didn't realize I would have that epiphany. I didn't realize, a lot of people don't have a giant thing happen to them, but this dropped me to the floor. Just, I mean, slammed me down. And I was so thankful. I must have laughed for about, I don't know, half an hour, it seemed like. So, he also said, you got to get to know me a little bit better. So, you got to get in the Word.
Amen. Yes.
And it was so hard because I was having my problems at the time. You know, the devil works a lot of things on me. But I got in the Word. And it was hard. It was really hard. So, he returned a week later to a new man. And we rejoiced together. We're not equally yoked anymore. And God was able to be in the center of our lives, not on the sidelines.
Amen.
Okay. Well, 17 lawsuits didn't go away. You can't just say, well, I feel good now. Ring. Hello. Hey, this is a beneficial finance. You haven't made your payment in 2 months. We're going to file a lawsuit against you. I said, okay, all right. Well, God says he won't give you anything you can't handle.
That's right. Come on.
And he knew that my wife was at the end of her string. And she knew that she had to have a leader in the family eventually. And this is what I had to do to step up. To avoid a judgment, you gotta appease those guys. So a man from church helped us out and helped call these guys. And one after another, one miracle happened. So what the Lord did is he set 1 month apart every month. So I had just enough time to make a little money to pay those things off. And he didn't push that. 17 months worth. And I had a lot of miracles happen. One in particular, I'll just share with you real quick. It was a Sunday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, got home from church, doorbell rang, and here's my wife's mom and dad. They live in Holdridge, Nebraska, 200 miles away, 230 miles away, and they'd just driven down to take us out for supper and go home. Just kind of a little drive, you know, 6 hour drive. Yeah. We do this all the time, right? Well, we took them up on going out to eat. We didn't have a lot of money. And we did. And they said, Dwight, well, good to see you again. I said, what was all that? By the way, here's a check. The co-op gave me a dividend check last week. I thought maybe you guys should use it. Well, the lawsuit was for $1,000 on Monday, and a judgment was going to occur on that Monday. That's the story behind the story. And we had no idea where we were getting money. We didn't have $1,000. That's what the check was for.
$1,000.
See, God doesn't give you what you want. He gives you what you need. And he knew exactly what we needed. And that's just one of 17 little miracles that blows my mind today. I mean, they've never done that before. They've never dropped in on us like that. And go back the same day?
Yeah.
No, that's I'm sorry. That was amazing. I'm not saying it, took us 17, well, it took us 2 or 3 years to get almost, you know, even. And it was a struggle after that too, just to stay away from credit. And to this day, you know, we've got a couple credit cards, but we've come down to where we can manage them. And for the first time, we prayed this over and over and over, finally in a position to give instead of take. We've been taking for a long time. And it's hard, it's really hard. You gotta get out of that mode. I sold the business. I'm gonna go back to that for a minute. A guy walked in after we heard the Challenger blew up. Guy walks in the door the next day and says, "How'd you like to sell your business?" I go, "Okay." And I gotta be honest. You know, I gotta be honest. Isn't that a God thing? Is that God's plan, or is it, was that my? No, he walked in the door. He's one of my dealers. And the guy says, "How'd you like to sell the business?" I go, "I looked at Duane." I go, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "Well, I got some bad news and I got some good news." And I had 200 dealers nationwide that were ready to take this on. And a lot of them were like Duncan, Air, and a lot of little airports and stuff. Because pilots really wanted this product. And he says, "I don't care about that." He says, "I want your network." Yeah. You know, he was in the hospital business, hospital parts, or not parts, but if you live in you see these hospital trucks going around delivering things. That was his business. And I said, "Okay, let's talk." But I had to let him know the truth. You know, I had to tell him what was going on. He said, "That's okay. That'll be fine." So, sold business. Didn't make much money. Just enough time to have God show me something else. In high school, in English class, they asked us to write a list of everything you wanted to do in life. Oh, man, I wanted to do that much. You know, I wanted to do everything except three things. I didn't really want to be a garbage collector. Didn't want to paint. And the last thing on earth I wanted to do, last thing on earth, the most important thing, the most fearful thing I had was to teach. Never wanted to teach. God said, "Sell the business and I want you to go teach." No.
Good joke.
That was a joke, yeah. I said, "What? Are you kidding me?" I didn't say that way. I was serious. So I said, my wife, she was teaching at the time. She says, "Well, why don't you put a fleece on it?" I said, "What do you mean?" Ask God if he wants to open some doors. You know, you quit school, you got a year to go in your degree, and how are you going to do this? You got to get certified and all that? Guy calls me up the next week, says he's the HR guy at Miller. And he's a scouter, by the way. I was a scoutmaster back in those days because I had to divert myself into something else that I could get some strokes for because I wasn't getting him anywhere else. Scouting did that for me, and that was good. But he says, "You know, we've been together on a few things." He says, "You're the kind of guy I'd like to teach my kids. You ought to go in and teach him." He's an HR guy. You know, he's the guy that hires. And I said, "Oh, here's the situation. I'm kind of interested, but I'm not sure where I gotta go." He says, "What's your hobbies?" I said, "Science. I like science. I like biology and stuff." "Yeah, meteorology. Yeah." So, "Well, I'll tell you what. We got an accelerated program. We'll get you into it." And I said, "Well, I don't even know when I get back to school. I got to erase a couple bad grades in chemistry." I had an allergic reaction against chemistry back in those days. And doors open. Like, they never opened before. Boom, boom, boom. And within a year, I was ready to go. And did I interview for the job? For the science department at North Sound High School? No, I didn't. I had a job. Boom. Everybody else was going sweating, going through interviews. And nobody get a job. The guy just said, "You're going to teach," and that's the end of it. You know? So I said, "Okay, so here I go." Well, you know what teachers do in the summertime? I can't sit around. Oh, yeah, you got me. Had a crew of 7. We painted 55 houses one summer.
Oh.
Oh, we did a lot of business. We painted for 17 years. I love to paint. I have not become a garbage collector yet. You're making so much money, I'll tell you what. If he says I'm going to be a garbage collector, I'm going to do it. I swear to God, I'm going to do it. Okay. That's that story. got into teaching, got it all squared away. I became the chairman of the department 10 years in, and it was a wonderful experience. Got a chance to teach a lot of things. I taught meteorology for 15 years. I taught zoology for 20. I taught biology for 20. I even got a chance to teach a little chemistry. It hurt, but it was okay. I really did. I had a hard time getting by the valence thing. I don't know. Anyway, thank goodness for lesson plans. Okay, all right. Let me recap a little bit. I got first 20 years, job sales. I was a clerk at the YMCA. I worked jobs in construction. I was in the hold as a hamper for the construction company. I was on an intersection gang with Burlington Railroad. Did a lot of jobs. You know, I wasn't afraid of work at a certain point in time. I just didn't know where it was going. Was it God's plan? I don't know. Second 20 years, build a business, interpersonal skills, learn how to deal with people, and then last 20 years, teaching. And God's plan? I don't know. Well, if you're a believer, you're going to be judged on earth what you do on earth after you come to know Him. Actually, the judgment word in Hebrew is reward. Okay?
Yes, sir.
You got to do something with it.
Yes, sir.
Once you become a Christian, you got to do something with it. You can't just sit there and say, give me stuff, give me stuff, give me stuff. I love that sermon. That was great. That was good. But now I got to get up and do something. So, every man a warrior. We've got four groups, maybe five groups coming in this in September. We get to work with these guys all year long. Well, praise God for that. And I'm teaching a class, a brand new class called The Mysteries of Genesis, The Science Behind Genesis. We're going to talk about the flood, we're going to talk about fossils, we're going to talk about all the stuff I love. And we're going to start that in September, too. It's a dynamic program at ICR, Institute of Creation Research, and I'm real excited about that. So, yes, all of that comes together, and it's not clear to me what all that did for me in those past days. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, whether you believe it or not, He's with you. Right now.
Oh, absolutely.
He was with you before you were born.
Absolutely.
I just want to share with you, and I'll close with this. Psalm 56:3 says, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" If you trust God, you have nothing to fear. If He's for you, no one can hurt you. No one can be against you. You can overcome that. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born." We had a study on angels. And so not only do we have, God knows us before we're born, we also have an angel, whether you are with Him or not. Okay? So are you here today or on your own?
Yeah.
You're in the plan, whether you like it or not. And if you don't come to know Him, you're going to be a statistic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you come to know Him, He can finish the work He started in you today.
Yes.
See, He's been working on you all your life.
Yes.
And when you come to know Him, He can finish the work.
Yes.
So you got to allow Him to get you.
Yes.
And you got to allow Him to finish the work. Finish the work.
Yes.
Do what you're supposed to do. And you'll give Him the glory. But you'll do something in the kingdom on earth that is really, really meaningful for Him. Okay? And that's how I want to finish. I want to finish strong.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good word, Bob.
Yes.
Finish strong. That's a challenge for all of us.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything to needs to be said before we go?
Okay, can I have 3 minutes?
Nope. Three. Actually, we're already past time. I apologize. Let's close in prayer and send us on our way.
Okay.
Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the word that Bob brought to us. I ask that it be seed that planted in our hearts now, and that You would water it and let it grow. And that we would continue to manifest what You need us to be as men of this community, as men in our churches, and as men in our families. And I just ask for a special blessing for an anointing upon each man that came today, that he would he would feel that anointing, that he would feel a presence of the Holy Spirit in him, and that as you work through him and along, and he works alongside you, that we can accomplish what you've set us out to do. We thank you for the men from from the mission who came this morning, and we just ask for a special blessing for them as they continue to strive to in victory over yes. the, over their past.
Yes.
We all have pasts, mm-hmm. and we all have to overcome them, but we can do that when we stand in your presence and, yes. and work with allow you to work through us. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hey, Patrick.